My name is Jim, and it is my privilege, really, to be here with you guys. And packed house tonight. I like that. Thank you guys for coming. It's a little warm, but we'll manage. The praise was pretty intense, so things will calm down a little bit now, right? And I just wanted to make one note about next week, in case there's anybody here who's torn about whether to come to church or whether to watch the Super Bowl. See this Bible? My hand's on the button. I'm not going to do that, but it is my goal, and I'm pretty intense about my goals. It's my goal to have you out of here by 7 o'clock next Sunday. So literally, you're missing like the national anthem and the first kickoff. Because the game starts at 6:30, right? Adam? Right? Okay, right. It's at 6:30, bro. I'll just let you know. So make sure that you are here. I promise that you won't want to miss it, because we have a lot of important things to talk about as a church. Where we came from, like Will said, where we're going, stuff like that. So everybody will be participating. It's not going to be like a me teach, you listen type thing. We're going to gather around. It's going to be very community, very family oriented. And we're going to talk about our goals for the new year. So I encourage you to be here. We are in the fourth week of our current sermon series, Outdo. And so we have, of course, next week, and that's the week that we'll conclude Outdo, the sermon series, and you'll also get your card so that we can begin this year-long challenge of outdoing one another. But let's, just to get some context for exactly what we're talking about, let's go ahead and stand and let's read our passage together, our theme verses for this year, found in Romans 12, verses 9 through 13, where it says, "Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality." Now, I want to keep going, that's all that's going to be on the screen. But I wanted to keep reading in the passage till the end, just to let you know how much we're living up to this year. It's quite a tall task. "Bless those," this is verse 14, continuing on in Romans 12, "bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another. Don't be haughty, associate with the lowly, never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." You can be seated. Thank you. If you're like me, and you read this passage, and then we continue on in Romans 12, you're kind of a little bit overwhelmed. It's a lot. And it seems like we're asking a lot of you this year, right? I mean, honestly, let's just be honest. To accomplish this list and to continue on in Romans 12, verses 14 through the rest of the chapter, those things are hard enough, right? There's like 20 things. Like, I might do well at just picking one and accomplishing that. But like Amber said, there are 12 months in the year, so you could do 12. You could focus on 12 if you really put your mind to it. But it seems like God's asking a lot of us in this passage. Not only that, not only are God's standards high enough, but then we as a church, we're like adding on top of that. We're like, not only do you need to keep this list, but look around. You need to outdo everybody else at keeping this list. And so if you're like me, you might tend to almost start this year defeated. You might feel like you're starting the whole year behind, because it's such a tall task. It's intense. We all have good and bad days. I mean, you know, the battle against the flesh and the spirit is raging every day, and something happens, a circumstance happens, a situation comes around, and you think, you know, this is what I want to say, this is what I want to do, this is how they should feel about it, and I'm going to let them know. And then on the other side, you're thinking, this is what I want to say, this is what I want to do, but that's probably not the correct route. I probably should react this way. And sometime, maybe 10% of the time, we'll respond in the spirit. If you're like me, the other 90% of the time, we're just lashing out in our flesh. And so to accomplish this is a lot. And I don't want to minimize that, and I don't want to make it seem like nothing. But I want to give you tonight, in a sermon entitled The Commandment Connection, I want to help you build the stage for accomplishing this. I want to help us build a proper perspective for tackling this, because it is a lot. And I know last week we talked about, it's not so much about the list as it is abiding in Christ, we saw from John 15. It's not so much about these things, but more about staying plugged into the source. But tonight we're going to continue on in John 15. We're going to continue on in the passage, and we're going to look about what it says concerning this commandment connection, gaining the proper perspective. So we're going to keep going and read in John chapter 15. This is starting in verse 9. The Bible says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." All I want to do tonight is break up these verses in two sections to make it easier to understand. And we're going to talk about first the context of the commandment, and then secondly, the commandment of the context. So first, we're going to tackle the context. Secondly, we'll tackle the actual commandment. And hopefully, it'll help you feel a lot better. Hopefully, it'll make you think positively about this year-long challenge. Not just a month long, not just this current sermon series long, but even when I approach you on December 24th and ask you, you know, how are you doing with the whole outdo thing, Allie? And you'd be like, great. You know, John 15, 9 through 13, I'm cool. I got it. So let's focus on that. Let's pray really quick, and then we'll dive into the verses here. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for your word and how it ministers to us. I need your help. I pray that you will take my words and help my ability to communicate, to just make it easy to understand and easy to relate to tonight. And I pray that if there's anyone here who has not encountered the love of God and they don't understand God's love for them, that they will see that tonight and accept it for the very first time. For others of us who are on our journey to better understand that love, I hope tonight and I pray tonight would be encouraging and helpful to them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so the context of the commandment is found right here. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. First sentence is really a game changer. It says so much about this context. It helps us out so much in our list of things to outdo one another. Let's read it again. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. That's huge. That's powerful. In other words, God is saying, as much as I love Jesus, it's that same amount Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. And tonight I want to make it more personable. Not just the whole world. You know, in this Christian culture that we live in, it's easy to generalize God's love. You know, God loves the down and out guy, the guy that's a mess, the guy who's strung out on crack cocaine, you know, the girl who had an abortion. God's love reaches everybody. And that's true, but tonight, let's not generalize it. I want you to be selfish with God's love tonight. And that's okay. We're allowed to do that. Just close those doors and just focus on you. Focus on the intensity and the immenseness of how much God loves you. Another verse that kind of helps me understand it is found in John 5:20, where he says, "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel." In other words, God's saying, listen, as I love my Son so much that there's nothing I'm doing, there's nothing I'm performing, nothing I'm working on that my Son doesn't have access to, that my Son is privy to. My son has access to all that. I don't hide anything from him. And in fact, you haven't even seen anything yet. Like, I'm about to do way more than you can ever think or imagine, and my son is going to be the epicenter of all of that. He's going to be the focus of all of that. That's how much the Father loves the Son. So, guess how much you are loved? Immensely. As much as God loves his Son, Jesus. And I don't think I really ever understood this. You know where I'm going. I don't think I ever really understood this until I had a son. And those of you who are parents here tonight, Kathy understands this. Jim Hill, he understands this. I learned so much more about God's love. And I still am. Of course, I'm only a month in. What do I know? But I've literally gone, I feel like I've gone from the shallow end to jumping off the high dive as it concerns to understanding how much God really loves me. Not Adam, not Connor, but me. Personalize it. It's so incredible. And we were just talking last night about how, you know, people always say they would die for their kid. And Alyssa was like, yeah, I don't really know about that. I never really understood that until now. And of course, it's so obvious now. Of course I would. But before Donovan, she kind of wondered, would I really die for somebody else? I don't know. Maybe not. But now it's not even a question, because the love, the relationship that's there is, you really can't communicate the depth of it. And so take a moment tonight and think about that. Think about the depth that God really has, the love that God really has for you. See, I think in my mind, in my immature Christian mind, I kind of spiritualize God's love, where it's almost like, you know, if it's not something super important, if it doesn't have something to do with the church or his word or, you know, something spiritual going on in my life or somebody else's life, then it's probably best not to bother him with that, because he's got a lot on his plate. I always thought of God as busy, as just so aloof. So such on a higher plane than I am. And of course, Isaiah 55 does say that. His thoughts are way above our thoughts, but his love is not only higher, but it's deeper and it's wider and it's everything. We can't even begin to understand his love. And so with things like, you know, my knee, let's say, for example, goes out on Tuesday playing Ultimate. Just silly things. Things that normally I would never really pray about or ask God to do anything about. I'm having a heart change. I'm having kind of an awakening, and I'm realizing, no, God is my Father. He wants me to come to him about everything, about anything, no matter how small, spiritual or not, physical, emotional, whatever it is. It would crush me if my son felt like he couldn't come to me about something. He falls out of a tree, busts his nose, and he's like, man, my dad's always so busy with like church stuff and people and stuff. This is just a busted nose. I probably just won't even, I'll just suck it up and deal with it. I'm sure it'll get better. No, that would crush me to think that my son would opt out of coming to me about even the smallest thing, a mistake, a bad grade, a scratch on his finger, anything. I would want to be his first option. I would want him to come running to me. I would want to know everything. I would never, 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 never in a million years turn him away, God willing, from something that I deem as more important. My love for him is so immense. And I could have never explained it prior to. You know what I mean? Like, it's just something I would never have understood until now. And on top of that, as much as I love my son, it's an imperfect love at the end of the day, because I'm selfish, I'm a flawed person, I'm prideful. And so can you imagine, as immensely of an amount as I love Donovan, imperfectly, God loves me so much more than that perfectly. Not imperfectly, because he's not flawed. He's holy, he's perfect, he's just. And so the love that he has goes way beyond mine, and it's also perfect. And so he's saying tonight, he's saying, come to me about anything. It doesn't matter, a mistake you made, something to do with your job, a grade, a relationship, something physical. He's your father. He wants you to come to him about anything. He's your dad. And I never really understood that much until now. You know, I grew up in a church and they always, it was, maybe some of you understand God's love better than I do. I grew up in a church where I was given the gospel at a very young age, responded to it. So I grew up on John 3:16. It's all I ever knew. You know what I mean? It was so much of a head knowledge and not really a heart thing. But now I'm beginning to understand God's love is not just spiritual. It's not just a head knowledge. It's emotional. You know, it's just not words on a page. It's the story. And so pardon me while I enjoy and begin to experience God's love for me, because I go to bed every night and, of course, I pray before I go to sleep and I just lay there and I think sometimes. It's like mind-blowing to think, just like Donovan wants to, you know, I want to just take care and supply for, and I want him to be dependent on me for everything. So does God. And I just lay there in bed at night and I think, man, like, God desires me so much. He wants to further his relationship with me so much, even when I blame him for everything. Even if I say it's all his fault. Even if I only talk to him when I need something, he can't help but love me. And the same would be true for Donovan. There's nothing he could do that would separate me from his love. It's such a powerful point. I grew up, we always used to recite out loud John 3:16 in my church, and we would read it together out loud the way it's written. And then the second time, he would always say, now take the word world out and put your name there. Replace world with personalize it. So I want to do that tonight. We all know John 3:16 by heart, I hope. So let's say it together. We're going to just say it normally, just as it's written the first way through, and the second time, put your name there. I want you to personalize it. Because truth be told, if you were the only person on this world, he would have still come. He would have still sent his son. He would have still paid the ultimate sacrifice just for you, just to have a relationship with you. Let's say it, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Okay, this time we're going to take world out and put your name there. So for God so loved Jim, for God so loved Andrew, for God so loved Ian. Okay, ready? John 3:16, for God so loved Jim that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Take a minute and let that sink in. For God so loved Jim. It's intense. It's really, really powerful. So we go on here, and I want to show you Ephesians 3:16 through 19, because it has a lot to do with what we read in our passage in John 15. Of course, the Apostle Paul, this is a letter to a church in Ephesus. So he's writing this to be an encouragement to this church here in Ephesus. And he says, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now pay attention to this part, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's so true. There's so many characteristics of God's love in there. My favorite is the one that surpasses knowledge, because that's where I was at. Maybe you're like me, and God's love has only been a knowledge thing for you. It's always just been up here, but it's never really transferred to your heart. You know about Christ. You know the sacrifice he made. You've been in Sunday school. You've heard the stories and the pictures. But have you accepted that love for yourself? He's saying, listen, there is so much fullness to be experienced. There is so much joy, so much satisfaction to be had, but you're missing out on it if you haven't accepted the love of Christ And of course, you won't understand it all at once. It's taken me 30 years, and I'm just scratching the surface, I feel like. But to know, to have the strength to comprehend, it does take some strength to even begin understanding His love. The height, the depth, the breadth. And to be filled with that, to be absolutely so full with it that you're almost ready to burst. And then I want to go back. We're building a stage here. We're setting a perspective. Let's go back to the passage, though. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. I don't like that sentence. I don't know about you, but that just kind of ruins it all for me. Here He's told me how much love is there, how much love is He has for me. It's so immense, it's so strong, it's so palatable, it's emotional. And then He says, abide in it. Okay, so now it's my work to stay in it. Now it's something I have to strain for and strive for and work towards, as if it's a game of cat and mouse. Like, as soon as I get it, it's just around the next corner. I have to keep abiding in it. That's what I initially thought about this phrase, abide in my love. It was confusing to me. And then again, I want to show you another verse in Jude where it says something along the same lines. It says, keep yourself in the love of God. What is that? I thought it's supposed to reach me wherever I am. I thought it was unconditional. I thought I didn't have to work for it. I thought it was a free gift. But now He's saying, keep yourself there. Abide in it. I want to try to explain it a little bit to you. Who's ever stood under a waterfall? Like, I know Austin has. I have. One in North Carolina. It's amazing to stand underneath a waterfall. It's just not just a dinky one. Okay, I'm talking not your swimming pool at home, a little trickle. I'm talking about like a massive waterfall, just a raging waterfall. And you just stand under it and you're just obliterated. Like your knees are so weak, you could just pass out. But there's one in North Carolina. I'm sure there's several, but this one is like one where you can actually walk behind the waterfall into like a little cave and just stand there. It's like right in front of your face, like sheet, like gallons and gallons of water just coming down. And I want you to picture God's love that way. God's love is the waterfall. It's ever flowing. It's ever continuous. It's not going to run dry. And you're standing under it, experiencing the full weight of it. It's almost crushing. But some of us are in our canoes, and we decide to paddle away. We're under the waterfall at one point, but then certain decisions we make in our life, we're literally paddling away. We're going out from the waterfall. That might be a more accurate way of understanding what it means to abide. It's not that God's love can't reach you. No, it already did. It's not that it's going to run dry or it's unattainable. You have to keep working for it. No, what He's saying is, stay in it. You're already here. Stay in it. Don't paddle away. Stay in it. Don't make decisions that will take you away from it. Just experience it. It's here. It's massive. It's ever flowing. Well, how do we do it? Like, that's nice, but what are we doing that's taking us out of this love? Because we don't want that. We want to stay in it. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. What was that commandment? What was the Father's commandment to Jesus? Anybody know? Obedience unto death. And here he is. These are literally his final words before they take him. This is literally the chapter before he goes up to the garden and is arrested. And he's saying, I'm about to go through with mine. I'm about to fulfill the commandment the Father had for me. So he's saying, you keep the commandment that I have for you and you will abide. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. In other words, it's not a cat and mouse game. He's not trying to make his love elusive. No, he wants us to be happy. He wants us to be full of joy. And that's why he's saying, stay under the waterfall. the context of the commandment. Don't paddle away. And I feel like the more we understand and accept God's love for us, the more genuine love we can have and share with those around us, which takes us to the commandment. That was the context. Now, what is the commandment? Oh, we already went there. This is the commandment right here, John 15, 9 through 13. That you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, and someone lay down his life for his friends. Did you know all 666 commandments in the Old Testament are really wrapped up in this one? He says in another way in Matthew, but literally, the only commandment that we are to worry about is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Of course, the disciples just, they totally missed what he was saying there. He was again foretelling his death. Again, he was saying, I'm about to do this. I'm about to demonstrate to you exactly what I'm talking about. I'm literally about to lay my life down for you. They didn't get it. So now we have an interesting concept. In order to stay under the waterfall of his love, we're supposed to love others. In other words, we're literally the conduit. Anybody familiar with that term, conduit? Sure you are. The only reason we have lights and electricity is because someone installed copper wire, which is a great conduit of electricity. Do you think copper wire in and of itself, I mean, it's a kind of a rare commodity. It's kind of expensive. But a copper wire in and of itself isn't going to do anything. It's not going to light the room. Copper wire isn't electric. But it transfers. It lets the electricity flow from the source to the receiver. So we are simply the conduit of God's love. We're simply supposed to let it flow through us. God's love is supposed to be experienced and had by us personally, and then we give it away. We just give it away. We share it. We give it away. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. In other words, loving others puts us in the direct path to receive his love that's rushing toward us. 2 Corinthians puts it this way in chapter 5, verse 14 to 15, for the love of Christ controls us. Does the copper wire control the electricity, or does the electricity control the copper wire? The electricity controls. So it should be with us. We shouldn't control and manipulate God's love. We shouldn't divvy it out how we want to and hoard it for ourselves or only share it with those that we really get along with. We're supposed to let it control us. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Oh, so there we're onto something. If you've never experienced this love, the way it was demonstrated is what Jesus is talking about here. He was put to death for our sake. And then 3 days later, he arose. So the greatest demonstration of his love was that God gave up his son, the son that he loved so immensely and passionately. He gave up his son. That's some kind of love. I would never, I don't care who you are, even Will, I don't care who you are, I would never give up Donovan to die for any of you goons in here. Like, just forget about it. You might as well take the bullet, because it's just not, it's not even an option. It's not even something I'm going to think about. But for God, it was something not only did he contemplate, but he did with joy. He did willingly, gave up his only son, the son that he loved so perfectly, so much, gave him up so that he could have a relationship with you and I, so that we could experience that same love that he has for his son, so that we could get under the waterfall too. That's crazy. But the commandment We have the context. Now, the commandment is that we love one another. And that's simply it. You wonder how we outdo? How do we keep this thing going all year? Simply be the conduit. What love you receive from God, share it. Let it go. Let God's love flow through you. Don't inhibit it. Things can kind of junk up. You know, in the old Romans and the Greeks back in their day, they would build big conduits, not for electricity, obviously, but for water. Just they would raise them up above the ground and put a slope on them, an angle on them, so that the water could flow into the city parts in different areas that they needed it. You know what I'm talking about. Who's ever played Age of Empires? I mean, everybody. So you have to build your conduits if you want your city to make it, right? So, but different things, they had to clean out these conduits all the time, obviously. They were open air. Different stuff can get in there. Sin, rebellion, pride, selfishness, you name it, a bad relationship, a toxic environment, things can clog up that so that when the love of Christ is experienced by us, it doesn't go anywhere. And eventually just builds up. Eventually we just get sour. And eventually we just get apathetic and we don't even really understand, we don't even think about the awesomeness of the love that we are experiencing. So let that be a challenge, a word of encouragement to you. Don't let anything clog up God's love flowing through you. But that's simply it. Another way, I want to show you this one last verse because this is so powerful. Who's ever read the book of Romans and like all the way through the whole book and felt really weird about chapters 9 through 11? Anybody except me? It's really weird. They're just kind of there. And I'll explain this in a minute. We're starting in chapter 8, so I kind of jumped ahead of myself. But here I am reading along chapter 8 in this beautiful passage, right, about God's love and how nothing can separate us from it. Let's just go ahead and read it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Beautiful passage, right? Amazing. Just a few verses prior, there's that famous verse that says, God works all things together for good to them who are the called according to his purpose, right? So this is a great chapter, and then I get to chapter 9, and he's like going off on Israel and his Jewish brothers, and it's like, what happened to the love that I couldn't escape from? I want to go back to that part. And then 10, it's like weirdness again, and 11, it's like super hard to understand. And then you get to 12, and it's like, well, duh, you should present yourself a living sacrifice. Isn't it reasonable? And it's like somewhere I missed something. There's a disconnect going on. Well, then somebody showed me, and this is something I learned a few years ago, just take chapters 9 through 11 as a big parenthesis, okay? They're literally written to the Jews. Paul's addressing the Jewish people. His book to the church at Rome, so it's Jewish members there. And so it was literally a rabbit trail Paul went on. So you can understand this so much better if you go straight from Romans 8 to Romans 12. And so let's do that. We have this love that we can't escape from. We'll be able to separate. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Other Bibles translate as spiritual worship. In other words, it's something, it's what we give back. It's logical. It's what we should want to do. Because of his love, we give ourselves. How do we give ourselves? As the conduit, as simply the means for his love to rush through to others. And that's how we outdo. That's how we keep this thing going. That huge list, and I think it's up here again. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another. Outdo. Don't be slothful. Be fervent. Serve the Lord. Rejoice. Be patient. Constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Show hospitality. Don't hang out with cool people. Hang out with the lowly. And it keeps going and it says, heap stuff on your enemy because you're going to overcome evil with good, not the other way around. And it's like, I cannot do that. Maybe on a good day, and I can accomplish half of that. But the list is so tall. But I'm proposing tonight, if you only understand, if you're only standing on that firm foundation, if you only place yourself under the waterfall of His love and let it flow freely from you to others, you're going to outdo. You're going to fulfill this list. It's not going to be so impossible anymore, because what happens is anything that seems impossible, anything that seems unattainable, anything that seems too hard, if you channel it through the funnel of God's love, suddenly it becomes only reasonable. Suddenly it becomes a privilege. Suddenly it becomes the only way that I can have complete satisfaction and joy in my life. It's because I've taken what was impossible, something that me and my flesh could not do. I've experienced God's love, and I've let God's love affect me and flow through me to where now in Romans 12, 1, it's awesome. It's my reasonable service. It's my spiritual worship. It's what I give back. It's the only way I can maintain. This is how I outdo. And I just want to close with this verse in 1 John, because it kind of sums it all up for me. And you don't even have to be a Christian to understand this. 1 John 4, 7 through 11. In this is love. It's not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, big word that means complete payment, for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I just want to close by saying, you know, as much as I love Donovan, as much as the almost palatable love that I have for him, do you know what? He does not love me back yet. He doesn't. He can't. He doesn't understand that. And got to thinking about God's love for us and how He found us and who He saved, who's sitting in here tonight. We didn't love Him back. We couldn't. We didn't even understand. There was no way for us to. But His love was so overpowering. It was rushing towards us so strongly. And you know, the only way that you experience God's love is because somebody let it flow through them. Somebody like my mom experienced God's love and then shared it with her son. And now I experience it. If you're sitting here tonight and you've experienced the love of God, it's because somebody let it flow. Somebody did Romans 12 for you. Someone did Romans 12, 9 through 13, and they shared the love with you. They weren't so much focusing on the list of bullet points that's outlined for us, but they simply were being the conduit. They were simply, as fast as they could receive it and enjoy it and relish it, they were giving it away, just letting it flow, letting it continue, letting it do its work. And that's the means by which God has ordained. It's you and I. He could have written a message in the sky. He could have sent His angels. He could have let us all die and perish and go to hell. But no, He chose humans. He sent His Son in a form of a human first to die and be raised. And now He's using us as His hands and feet to let the world know about this love. And that's my challenge to you tonight. How are we going to outdo? When I give you these circle cards next week as a way of remembering all year to outdo, to outdo, to outdo. Remember the secret to Romans 12, 9 through 13 is John 15, 9 through 13. And I love to think about God's love for me. Can we all just pray with our heads bowed, eyes closed? Let's just take a moment. Do whatever you need to do. You can come up here to the altar, kneel here. You can kneel at your chair. You can just bow your heart in a posture of humility and thank Him. Truly contemplate on the kind of love that He has loved you with. I don't know how you understand it right now, but however you do understand it, I promise you it's way more. It's so much more. Maybe you relate it to how a parent loves you. Maybe you relate it to how you love your girlfriend or boyfriend, your wife or husband, your kids. That's the way I am experiencing it now, and I have so much to learn. But it's so much more, and it's perfect. As much as you are imperfect, God's love is that much more perfect. God, we thank you for that love. We relish in it. Help us to personalize it. And with every head bowed, every eye closed, if there's someone here tonight and you've never accepted God's love, if you know about it, maybe you heard about it for the first time tonight, and you say, you know what, I need to accept that. I've never understood it like that. I knew about Jesus, but I didn't necessarily know that He died for me. I didn't know that that was God's picture of love to me. Will you accept it tonight? You can just say in your heart, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done things that are worthy of eternal punishment in hell, but I believe that you loved me so much. I believe that Jesus came to this earth, was crucified, shed His blood, was buried and rose again the third day. And He did all that not as a show, not so we could have a historical document, not so that we could wear a gold chain around our neck, but He did that to show how much He loved you. He did that because it was the only way to reach you. It was the only way to get you into heaven. Will you accept it tonight? Just by faith say, I'm believing, I'm trusting in Jesus as my Savior tonight. You can do that right where you are with every head bowed, every eye closed. It's just a matter of your heart, really. You can have all the head knowledge in the world, but if you never personalize it, it's not going to do you any good. And for those of us who have experienced it tonight, just one question, are you letting it flow through you? Are you going to let it flow through you this year? It's a big task ahead of us this year as a church to outdo. But if we just maintain two things we learned about in John 15, staying plugged in to the source, abiding in Him, abiding in the vine. See, that's kind of the experiencing part of God's love. That's kind of like the waterfall part of God's love. And then letting it flow, being the conduit. Are you going to let it flow this year? Find your flow. God, we thank you for this love. It's so immense. And I know that we'll never comprehend even the surface of it until we're glorified and we're totally sanctified with you in heaven. But I thank you for giving us just a glimpse of it here on earth. Just enough to whet our appetite and make us crazy in love with you. Thank you for that. I thank you for the gift of a child that helped me understand it so much more. Thank you so much for the love you had for me, that you would send your only Son in my place.